Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So sometime last week, I took Mason to a movie. Since he was laid up, it seemed to be the compassionate thing to do. And every once in a while, I can be a nice father. So we went to see Mission Impossible. And one of the trailers leading into Mission Impossible was about a new movie coming out, The Man from U.N.C.L.E. And it's kind of struck a chord in my head, and I said, you know, I used to watch that on TV when I was growing up. Used to watch Mission Impossible, too. Then I began to think of all the different things that have kind of been recycled from my youth. Mission Impossible, The Man from U.N.C.L.E., Get Smart, they made a movie about that. And then all the comic books I read, they have a gazillion different movies out for each and every one of those. And then there's Batman, and Superman, Iron Man, Ant-Man, anything that ends with man, apparently they can make a movie out of. Probably the one that really got things going, I think, was the Batman series. There were a number of different people that have played that role. It started out with Adam West, and then we've had Michael Keaton, George Clooney, Val, I wasn't fat back then, Kilmer, Lenny Robinson, Ben Affleck, and going back, the one I forgot, what's his name? Oh, the English guy. Shoot. The last one. Affleck hasn't come out yet. So the guy who did The Dark Knight and the other one, Christian Bale. Yeah, Christian Bale. I thought about that because this was kind of a odd week for the Batman franchise. Because the woman, I can't remember her last name, her first name was Yvonne, who played the original Batgirl, passed away this week. And one of those Batman characters, Lenny Robinson, also passed away. Now, you probably don't know who Lenny Robinson is, because he was not Batman of the big screen. He wasn't even Batman of the little screen. He was Batman of the Baltimore-Washington corridor. It first came to light in the spring of 2012. The Montgomery County Police Department released a dash cam video of them pulling Batman over. Now, it struck a chord with me because I used to live in Montgomery County, Maryland, and it struck even a greater chord because he was pulled over on Route 29 in front of my old church. And so there was this man in a full Batman costume driving the Batmobile. He had taken a Lamborghini and he had converted it into the Batmobile. And the reason why I got pulled over is because his license plate was the Batman symbol. That bat. He did have the regular license plates in the car. He explained what they were doing, and so they let him go. But it was kind of a humorous exchange that went on as the traffic stop ensued. Now, seems kind of strange that a grown man would be running around playing Batman. Apparently, Lenny first became interested in this when his youngest son, Brandon, was enamored by the Batman character, and so he, one day as a joke, went and got a Batman suit just to play a game with him. And when he was outside, what he found out was he was attracted, it was kind of really the honey to the bee to the honey, I got that backwards, sort of deal with kids and the Batman character, that the kids just absolutely loved the Batman character. Now, as he began to think about this, he began to wonder and understand that there must be something he could do with this. It was then that Leonard Robinson made a choice. He and his brother had started a multi-million-dollar cleaning business in the Washington, Baltimore area where they cleaned office buildings, churches, and synagogues. And it was then that Lenny decided he was going to turn most of that over to his brother so he could begin serving that area and the children of that area as Batman. Now, it wasn't that he just went running around neighborhoods. What he did was he worked with a couple different children organizations, and he worked with a number of different hospitals, and he would visit sick children on a regular basis as Batman. He spent hundreds of thousands of dollars of his own money to be able to replicate Batman as identically as possible, I suppose, and then created all kinds of different things that he could give the kids that were Batman related. The story of his efforts in that area of the country are renowned. There were parents that would tell stories about how their child hadn't smiled for years because of a long-term illness, and then an encounter with Batman Lenny made a difference in their lives. Unfortunately, the Batmobile let him down. He was on Interstate 70 heading towards the Frederick area when his Batmobile stopped running. He couldn't get it all the way off to the road, and when he got out to try to push it off the road, somebody struck the vehicle and in turn killed him. But you see, Leonard Robinson made a choice to take his life and make a difference. To be able to utilize some special gifts that he had figured out that he had. And to bring a little light and hope and joy into the lives of a number of children who hadn't seen joy and hope for days, months, or even years. Leonard made a choice. Another gentleman who made a choice, we all know. The 39th President of the United States. Jimmy Carter's been in the news this week because he's been diagnosed with cancer. The cancer is to his brain, and he's begun radiation treatments. Now, Jimmy Carter made a choice, I believe, a long time ago. And that choice Jimmy Carter made was a choice that his life was going to be centered on Christ in all means, in all situations, in all circumstances. And I think that's why, pretty much as a whole, this country looked at him and said, well, you were a really lousy president. Because he was not politically motivated. It was Christ motivated. His faith is what drove him. His faith is what made him pick and choose and come up with the decisions that he made throughout his life. Being president was simply serving in one situation where he served in many situations, and that did not change for him. In his post-presidential years, if you think about what he has done, he has changed the world. He took this little ragtag group known as Habitat for Humanity, and he made it into an international cause. I will hold to you that if it wasn't for Jimmy Carter, this church would have nothing to do with Habitat for Humanity. And it is because of his work, his dedication, and his faith that he understood the need to be able to listen to that demand of Christ to house the homeless. In Africa, through the work of his foundation, they have nearly eradicated a disease known as the guinea worm. Now, the guinea worm is really a gross, nasty, waterborne disease that when you drink it, it goes into your body, and then after about a year, it actually eats its way out of your body and comes out through your legs. In 1986, there were approximately 3.5 million cases of guinea worm in Africa. I believe this year there were 126. His last goal is to see that disease eradicated before he dies. Jimmy Carter made a choice. In our first lesson, and in our gospel lesson, people are asked to make a choice. Who do you choose? Joshua wants to know. Would you like to choose the gods of the Amorites? Or do you want to choose the God who brought you out of slavery to this land of freedom and gave you this land of freedom? Who do you choose? As for me and my family, Joshua says, I choose the Lord God. And then in our gospel lesson, they're leaving in droves because it's too hard. I don't think God ever promised it was going to be easy. And so Jesus turns to those original 12 and says, well, what about you? Are you going to go? And Peter, being Peter, because every once in a while he gets it right, says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You are the one with the words of eternal life. Martin Luther, some 500 years ago, here I stand. I can do no other. We are called to make a choice. If we were baptized as adults, we were called to make a choice when those waters were placed on our hand and we were told right before that happened, who do you choose? Do you reject the devil and all his empty promises? Do you want to be a person of God? And you answered yes. For our children, we made those promises on their behalf and promised then that we would choose God and make sure our children would understand exactly what it means to be a person of God. And we would raise them in the faith. We would place in their hand the Holy Scripture. We would instruct them into the ways of God and the ways of church. And when they became old enough, they make a choice to choose God. But you see, for us, in terms of who we are and what we do within this world, it's not simply that moment that makes a difference. It is a moment each and every day of our lives where we make that choice over and over and over again. The first thing Martin Luther said he did when he woke up in the morning was make the sign of the cross to remind him of this, his baptism, that he was centering his life in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that day would be spent serving that God who had given him life, that God for whom he had made a choice. You're faced with those choices every day. Like Luther, we're faced with those choices when we wake up in the morning to be able to dedicate our lives. But even throughout the day, we find ourselves challenged to make a choice on behalf of God when we find temptation placed in our face to be able to do something that we might not best do, or choose to ignore a situation in which God demands our action. And if you don't think that happens, I would hold to you that anytime God places a situation in your face that you know that something needs to be done, God has demanded action of you. And there you make a choice. We choose ourselves, or we choose God. Boy, this is hard. Who can do this? You can do this. When you dedicate yourself and your mind and your heart and your soul to the Word of God, and you understand that God has called you to go and do things that you never thought you might be able to do, no matter how difficult they might be. When you do that, then you've made the choice. Frank Gifford died, about 2 weeks ago? He was most recently one of the commentators, actually he was the play-by-play guy for Monday Night Football. Before that, in the 60s, he was a football player for the New York Giants. His wife, Kathy Lee Gifford, she worked for the Today Show for a number of years until she went into retirement. Well, she came back after Frank died. And she offered a really beautiful and poignant remembrance of him. I urge you to look it up on YouTube or I guess on NBC's channels because I'm sure it's there. But she told a story about when she and Frank were in the Holy Land. And they went to the place where tradition says, or the tourist company says, that David slew Goliath. And he went and he picked up a bunch of rocks. And he took them home with him. His daughter was graduating from high school. Her graduation present was one of those rocks. She was inquisitive as to why she got a rock. He explained to her where he had found the rock, and he gave her the rock so she would hold forever the understanding that God has given you everything you could possibly need to do, even the impossible. You see, when we make the choice, no matter how hard it may seem, God is there with us and has given us and equipped us with what we need. There's never an excuse. Make the choice. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Amen.